Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, at 7 p.m. The Wasatch County Services Building in Hebrew, Utah. We'll go to item number one, which is swearing in our new planning commissioner.
No, you don't have to worry about that. I pray about a lot of other things.
Since Pam's not here, if you want to skid around, we can be buddies.
Okay, Deb, let's come up here. We'll be all official. Repeat after me. I, Kip Bangeter.
I, Kip.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to do the whole thing.
Okay.
I, Kip Bangeter, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Read it.
Yes.
I, Kip Bangeter, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, we'll move to item number two, which is public comments. Is there anyone that has comments that they would like to make?
I did last one.
Okay, don't see any. Let's move to item three, which is Blake Allen business concept discussion. Would you like to come up and...
Yes.
What you've got?
You guys seen the concept I sent over? Do you need the copy of it, or?
Yeah, Kim emailed it and gave us a copy.
Oh, okay.
So, perfect.
See, I've been here once and got went over, discussed it with this board before, and then I went to the council, and then I've been asked to come back to try and work through some of the issues or problems of trying to make it work through the ordinances and codes, and to draw a plan up to show you kind of what I was looking to do. So I own this piece of property down here. It's all zoned industrial, and I'm wanting to do some open space storage. And I'm wanting to start it just up in that little spot, which would be north of the home. And I don't know if I'll fill it up a quarter acre, a half acre, 1 acre. It's going to kind of be as the need as it goes. But I've already fenced the entire piece up there. I don't know if any of you guys have been past it. There's some pictures here, slatted it, and then left open chain link around the house, just a 4 footer to keep it nice. That's 6 foot the rest of the way around the front portion of the property. And just kind of here to see what we've got to do to work through to figure out what I need to do. I applied for a business license, but then there's some issues that come up against it that I can address and go through. So.
So I was not at that meeting. Could you give us a 30-second, just what you plan on storing and that kind of stuff?
So all I'm wanting to store there is like boats and campers. So I'm just wanting to do...
Outdoor RV stuff?
Yep. I'm not wanting a building, anything like that. Just I'm not wanting to come in and clean out the topsoil that's there and put down just road base only. No asphalt, anything like that. And just start right at like that road between the house, the road, and the Heber City or the airport property that's there. Work my way down there. Kind of see how it goes with it, but no buildings, no structures, no anything. And the zoning is I-1 or industrial, I guess. It is industrial across the road. It is industrial through part of the Wagstaffs, and then I believe I border there. Yeah, then their build is agricultural, I believe 5 or just residential zone. You can see that line on there. It's kind of hard to see where that little slash line shows you where the industrial zone comes. I do border the Heber City Airport on 3 of my corners over here. Has anybody got any questions? Or?
Are you living there?
I do not live there.
You do not live there? Does anybody live there?
Yes. Yes, the same owner that's lived there that I bought from, he still lives there and rents the house from me and stays there.
Scott.
Scott, yes, exactly. Scott Van Wagner, the Van Wagner family owns.
So here's the industrial here.
Okay.
And this is the piece that he's.
That's right there.
Yeah.
Eric, where that's
right here.
Storage, will we collect any taxes on that?
No, that's not this.
Not that one.
This is what he said, he's talking, I think this tag, the irrigated section there.
Okay.
I think that's the strip he's talking about.
Oh, that's not his. Oh, I see, it says has.
Yeah, somebody else, that line that you're seeing there, I think he's gonna follow this and probably go back, and maybe it'll curve back there.
So this right here, this is a straight across.
The airport right up here.
Yeah, probably where that line is, where your finger does, I guess.
Because I know this area.
Yeah, and like you said, it's fenced off.
Yeah.
My thing's, I guess my comments still, I think the same as what we had last time. I don't think our code allows for it unless you're gonna be at 6 foot height. I mean, you're allowed to have, it's gotta be fenced, and then it can't, any storage has to happen below the height of that fence, just the way our code's written is the way I would interpret that.
Okay. When I went to the council, they acted like that wouldn't be a big issue, the 6 foot height, that could probably be something we could work through pretty easily, because to have that in the code is pretty pointless. You can't have anything, store anything over 6 foot tall.
Yeah. Yeah, to me then, like, council, I mean, then they need to change the code if that's not what they want.
Okay.
At least that would be my thoughts on it. I don't disagree that, yeah, you're not gonna store much in terms of anything like this, other than, you know, I can only speculate as to what the code was, you know, intended to do there, but I mean, maybe it was more of, they don't want storage of trailers, and it's your, you know, lumber materials if you're, you know, building something with that, or, you know, steel or stuff like that, and it's, that might not be stacked higher than 6 feet, but that's just my view, my thoughts on the way the code sits today, and I don't get to really decide if I like it or I don't like it. It's just, that's what it is, in my mind.
What section were you looking at on there?
So that's 8.13.13, item 4.
Under storage.
So it reads, storage. All storage and outside activities except loading and unloading shall be enclosed within a building, or if approved as part of it, the conditional use within an area that is enclosed with a sight obscuring fence at least 6 feet and no more than 8 feet in height, storage shall not be permitted to protrude above the sight obscuring fence. So you could potentially get 8 feet of, you know, fencing and have 8 feet of storage there, but I mean, it's, to me, I read that, it's pretty specific of saying it can't go above that fence line.
Okay. And the trailer house is above 8 feet. And so are most boats on a trailer now.
Everything would be.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I would ask her to get that changed, because obviously there's conditional uses and people are looking at building stuff that's 40 foot tall and stuff. So to me, I feel that was, that's just, I've never seen anything with a code like that at all that says that, you know, I store something 6 foot tall in there. So I think, I guess what I'd ask then is if everybody is okay with everything that's here except the rule that's in there that I can't make common sense out of, then I would look to change that if I could get, hey, we recommend we approve this with solving that 6 foot thing, and maybe if that fence is 6 foot tall and the ground slopes, does that count at 10 feet down here when I'm above that in elevation, I am fine. I mean, there's all sorts of ways I can look at it, that then the entire rest of this is below that. Can I come and sub it down 4 feet and then put my things in there? I mean, that's...
Yeah, well, I'm sure not what you want to do.
No, nobody wants that. So
I understand that.
That's what I'm saying. The code, I feel, makes zero sense. I have ways of getting around that if I need to. I don't want to. I want it to be fixed for everybody that makes common sense for the entire code, for the entire venues there, so.
I think last time we'd met, we talked about the, what was it? There's two kind of options here, was either go into the council to get the code changed or go into the appeals board, right?
Yeah, and I went to the council, and they wanted me to draw this up and then
come back here.
Back here, so here I am.
But the code, in my opinion, is still the same.
But the code's talking about storage. What about parking?
I think there's a distinction there. I mean, if somebody's storing piles of 2x4s or cedar posts or whatever, then I think I see that as kind of, but are we really talking about the same kinds of storage?
Well, define storage.
Define it.
Define storage.
I want to put it in context. That's right, exactly. And Eric, what's the context that it says it can't be over 6 feet? What context?
I think was that the one that they were just reading.
That, would you define that as an RV or a...
All storage and outside activities except loading and unloading.
So it's not even just storage, it's outside activities, right? So I think that gets even broader than just storage. It's anything that's being done outside.
I guess I'm curious as to how that ended up in the code.
It's also a commercial.
Did we just copy that?
Is that probably carryover from the county still?
I just checked that same paragraph in commercial. So if we're going to say that it's also parking, then we've approved a number of commercial buildings that violate that section of the code.
If it says any outside activity or anything, has this ever been placed in effect anywhere that anybody can't have a 6-foot fence and not have any activities over it? The answer is no, absolutely not.
No.
Well, so this might be kind of frivolous to ask, but when it says that no outdoor activity above 6 feet, so that means you can't have a swing set, because that's an outdoor activity.
Well, I haven't gone back to residential to see if it's in the residential code.
Well, but even if I'm in a commercial code and we have people who have half commercial and half residential on their property, the same piece of property is split, right? Commercial or industrial and residential. So can they build a 6-foot fence, but I can't have a 6-foot, 8-foot swing set back there? According, if we take this code by the letter of the law, then, I
get its intent that sort of you're storing bricks or rocks and lumber, they don't want everyone to see it, but I don't think it was ever intended. I mean, there's thousands of boats and RVs and motorhomes around the entire place there. I don't think it was intended for that. If everybody views that it was.
Isn't there a lot like this kind of down by your house?
Yeah.
The staff knows the whole place.
Yep. Has a whole bunch of RVs.
Got about 20 of them.
Yeah, but they don't have a business license. They didn't come to the council.
There's probably
more than that. Is that a suggestion?
Thank you for coming.
No, and I'm glad everybody else has got it and doing it and parking things. I'm totally for them doing that. I'm just not for me getting run through the ringer and nobody else for not asking for it. So I don't want anyone else to have to do or improve or go or get craziness with it, because that's what it feels like this kind of is with these rules. But yeah, I think if this is industrial, this is where it should go. It should be pretty easy to put it on here, not impossible, and to put it all out in the residential zone with no rules, no fence, no anything. So I guess I want to know what's the easiest, fastest route to make this right and legal and legit. Where I've already been here, already been to the council, now I'm back here. What do you need for me to?
How soon did you want to start doing this?
I've already spent $40,000 on my fence. Now I have no license to. Yeah.
The town council wondered if this wasn't one of those areas where a conditional use permit, conditioned upon these parameters, basically, a conditional use permit within that zone. And again, I'm totally at a loss as to 6 foot. I think it's something that the unintended consequences of adopting that kind of an item in our ordinances left us all wondering.
Well, did the council talk about changing the code?
Yeah.
I mean, the ability to do that.
Yes. But we thought...
We can't change
the simpler process would be to recommend a con-
conditional use permit, and what are the conditions of that conditional use?
So if we did that while we're working on fixing the code.
Right.
A conditional use permit still takes a public hearing. It's not something we can do tonight.
Right.
Because of that.
Okay.
But we could next month and get it as soon as that. I think that makes sense. Bridger, you think you would feel more comfortable with it that way?
Well, I guess I'm looking at it and trying to understand in what way is it a conditional use. I mean, and I'll be the first to be, I'm new to this, so I'm trying to understand the different ways all this stuff fits in here, and I want to do it in a way that I can be consistent to the next guy that comes in here. And I agree, the way it's written, it doesn't make sense for what you're trying to do, but I'm trying to build a framework for myself so that I can do this the next time too and feel good about the answer that comes out, whatever it is, to the next person in here too. Because we've got uses in here that are all permitted, and then we've got the conditional ones in here, and I guess that's what I'm looking through right now, is trying to see what classification of use would fit and merit any of that stuff, because I don't...
6370. Warehousing or storage services.
So that's not even a conditional use then, that's just a straight up permitted use. Right?
Yep, that is a permitted use.
So then then we're not even in conditional use territory there. So that's why I guess I don't know, I don't understand or know enough to know how we say, okay, yeah, it's a permitted use, but we're going to let you do something that's, at least the way I read the code, isn't allowed within that specific permitted use. I don't know. I'm looking for guidance on any of this stuff from those that have far more time in these seats than I do.
It doesn't make any sense. The code doesn't make any sense. And what happened many years ago, not that many, but they just copied it from Wasatch County and Heber City and kind of moved it over to us. And sometimes nothing's come up to affect these codes, only in the last, you know, maybe 10 years, people really want to start using their land and do these things. And all of a sudden, we don't have any guidance. That's why I just say, we just change the code and let's get it right. And I don't know how we can work
but
legally.
That process has to begin here. It doesn't start with the council.
What? That wasn't my
understanding. That's not my understanding, I guess.
My understanding is that we can't change the code. We can only...
We can make a recommendation of a change.
We can make a recommendation.
You have to make a recommendation.
We don't have to. Well, you can initiate it on your end.
It sure should be.
Should?
Yeah. It sure should be.
Could.
The planning recommends the change, and then it comes to the council for review and approval.
Yeah.
So I think as you're in that process of looking at your code and making perfections and changes.
Are you saying that because of the land use issue?
Yeah,
that it well, should it, be.
It certainly has to do with planning and zoning.
That's what I'm saying. So,
and it certainly ought to be something that's consistent with this planning commission and your thoughts and ideas.
So I think the big problem here is the house.
Yeah.
It's a residential use in an industrial zone. If this was not a house and a residential in an industrial zone, this would be an industrial endeavor. And you would have a parking lot and it would be allowed. But where you have the house, now you just want a use of a storage. And that's where the difference is in black and white is what's holding this up. If this was an industrial use on the entire property, then I think a parking lot's allowed in there.
Yeah, but is it parking or storage?
I think it's parking lot. If it's an industrial use, it's
parking. Long-term parking, right?
Well, it speaks to parking lots.
Yeah.
Sightline provision where your parking lot is. The problem is when you have two different uses, the planning commission has the authority to deem what on that parcel is the use. And so I understand that he doesn't want to change that. He wants to leave that as a residential. If he made that an office, I don't think this is an issue, because then you have RV parking lot there and everything's good. It's the use. You're up against residential. And on its own property, not even on the neighbors. And it's the use, it's not the zone. Everybody you confuse the zoning with what the use is. The use was legally
residential.
It was already there when the zoning was changed. That house was a residence before the zoning was changed back in 2000. That use has continued.
So the house is a condition. I mean, all it is.
So when they sold the property, does it turn industrial, the house?
The use stays the same until somebody changes the use, and that's what we have here tonight, is he wants to change the use to an industrial use. It's allowed in the industrial area. He wants to be compliant. The problem is the house.
What's the minimum lot size in the industrial zone? Do you know right off, or do I need to look that up?
Lot area is 1/2 acre.
So there's another option. He's got 7.6 acres, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He can split off
the house.
That, no, he can't. Well, he can split the house off into 5 acres, but I'm saying he could split
the parcel.
We that have, parcel off and have okay. the 2 acres on the side.
We have parcels in the town that have two different zonings in one parcel. That wasn't created by us. It came to us that way, again, from everything you're hearing here. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Well, I'm saying that the parcel could be split, because you only need to have an acre in industrial, so we could have two industrial lots. And then the house doesn't have any effect on the other lot.
That's true, then it's industrial use on the entire parcel.
Yep.
So for the residents, he'd have to take the 5 acres.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to create an illegal law. So the use would still be the same.
I would ask that I could just have a conditional use for a caretaker's house there to watch the... It's a good thing anyways, if you have storage units, security alarms, fire alarms goes off, your cops get called out, your fire department have to come to all these calls. If you have an on-site person, you can have a delayed flight 2 minutes, they can go, what was that? Oh, it was just the wind, and stop it from happening. I want to have an on-site.
So is that going to be who's living in the house in the future?
In the future, yes, exactly.
So that's kind of office for your business.
It would be basically a caretaker's for the office, yes, but you'd use one room of a home, but it would be a caretaker that plowed the snow, that took care of the person that lives there right now is unable to do that, but his daughters that could, but in the future, that is exactly what I would do it for, so whoever lived there would run that entire place that was there, yes. They allow that in other cities and places. You're allowed one caretaker dwelling to run the facility and take care of it. I'm not saying that that's what's here, but to me, to tear down that house or get rid of or do, that's another thing that doesn't, but it's, so, and you're right with the mixed use on this one. Next door, it's industrial and residential. This one's industrial, residential. Both of them have the mixed zones on them right now, all surrounding me. Question just is.
So Eric, would that change the use of the property if it were an office, not a house?
It would, and not a home? You wouldn't be dealing with this issue because it would all be industrial. The home is the hangup. If you change that use, it's all industrial. The office is there.
So he would have to, is there a process for changing the use of a home to an office?
It's just his application.
It's just your application.
It is.
Is it permanent? Could he change it back someday if he wanted to?
It is permanent.
It is permanent.
When we allowed non-conforming uses, the code speaks to that. The process is to gradually eliminate those non-conforming uses, and that's what it's designed to do, and that's why it's such a holdup when you're trying to do two uses on the same one. If he goes completely into the industrial zone and that use on the entire parcel, then, or splits it off like Gary says and makes one, but the home is the hang-up.
And you didn't change the home to caretaker, then that home would stay as it is.
Non-conforming use.
But then you only have a couple acres for storage.
The 2.5 acre for the house would kind of, it's not big enough to farm, but it's big enough to grow weeds. So
it has to be 5 for the house.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an industrial.
Yeah, that doesn't work for Blake.
No.
So really the ball's in his court, what he wants to call the house. He wants to continue to use it. Do you have a problem?
If it can be a caretaker's house, that's all I'm after. I'll call it what it is if that works.
But then does he have to reapply if he changes his application?
Well, we just need a new plot plan that shows, and you've asked him for a business plan. And so we got the map, you just have to write up a business plan, and that would be the, that would be the application that would change that use. It would no longer be an RA.
But that's a conditional use, right? So we have to, we'd have to hear it still, it's not a conditional.
It's changed to industrial.
It's all the industrial.
And realize you can't change it back.
No, I don't want to. So you want me just, instead of calling this existing home, you want me to call this existing caretakers or site?
Slash office.
Office caretaker.
Yeah, as long as they know someone will live there, it's not just a 9-to-5 office that will be dumped, yeah, call it.
And we just did one of these, Blake, and they just had them do a deed restriction that puts that, it's not a rental, it's tied to your business. So whoever's working for you can live in there.
Yeah, that's, that, no problem with that.
And so that's, like I said, the ball's in your court if you wanna call it.
You don't.
An office and two, that's the way it goes.
That's, yeah, that's, I'll call that.
Office with a caretaker dwelling.
That's fine, yeah, I have no problem with that. So then that, you're saying that doesn't need a conditional use, so then there wouldn't be a public hearing where we've already had a hearing on this, that could be in their suggestions tonight, that that would just be.
That would move you forward, all you'd have to do is drive your parking lot?
And I've showed it here, open space storage area, this is where I'm starting. There's not, I've not got like it's 10 acres or five, it's kind of a grow as I go, so I would say 1 acre for now is what it would be, but just this area over here, so I have drew and have that arrow showing it, but it'll be a bigger one.
Yeah, I've seen your thing on the computer and all looking at it, it was just the home was the only problem.
And the deed restriction basically is forever, so if you sell the property, then the future owner basically buys that as an office and it can never be used as a home.
It could be lived in for them and then used.
To make business, for the business.
It just can't be rented out to somebody else, yeah, I totally understand, whoever buys that would owner occupy and run it, or whoever ran that would live in there.
Because, yeah, it's an unauthorized use as it stands, and so this basically changes it to unauthorized use.
Yes.
Yeah, really, anybody that moves their own and lives in that house, all they gotta say is, no, I work here, I'm watching the boats.
Yeah, and that's what I want whoever's there, they're in charge of the snow, they're gonna have good people.
So do you pay them, or do they pay you to be in that house?
They would, that would come as part of it, and then you would have to supplement them more money to run the books, run the gate, run everything, if all they were was a guard person pile of snow would basically be the house, but that's gonna be.
But that, but that's the definition of it, whether that's a, if you're paying that person.
Yeah.
To be in that house.
Well, as long as they're not paying me, that's the definition, exactly, yes.
Yeah, that's a condition of their employment, is living in the house, right?
The only problem with that is I would ask that that would be until the owner that is in there moved out, because I do not wanna kick out the current person that's in there that's lived there for 20 years. That would be a problem tomorrow. If there would be some sort of leeway for Mr. Van Wyer that lives in there right now.
So he'll be watching the equipment, right?
Yeah, but he pays rent, that's the downside. This can't happen overnight, this is gonna take me a year.
How much do you, how much are you gonna pay him to watch the boats and the trailers?
I'd have to see how many and when and what he can do, you know.
Cause that would be the thing, is he's paying you $1,200 a month rent now, and once we get all this code and switch, then it's gonna be an $800, cause I'm paying him $400 a month to be a caretaker type thing, I don't know.
It's gonna be a thing of work in progress, once I get it up, get it going, get it doing, it would be, I would be paying them $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to run the whole facility and stay there, once it was going to be a full-time job.
Yeah, I think that actually, probably the money doesn't make the difference, it's whether that is actually the caretaker that's.
Right.
Running that.
That's, exactly.
You know, it's really your business and the caretakers, what they're paid or not paid, or.
That, yes.
It's just whether their job is to run that facility.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and the reason we did the deed restriction was for the very reason that, or it can't be rented out, cause renters have rights. You can't kick them out until you get through the process. If it's a condition of their employment to live in there, once they're not employed, they can't live in the house. That saves you trying to evict somebody, cause if they're not employed for you, they don't live in the house. So that's part of the deed restriction, is it's not rented out, it's that's part of your business.
And it also travels with the property when it's sold, so.
It does.
I would have to read that fine print then to see if he qualifies or whatever, but I agree 100% with what you said. If he has to be on employment versus live here for free and watch it, that's a big difference too. If someone's, if he's really on payroll and a W2, you know, everything like that, or if it's, if it is a legit caretaker's place, now that just adds a bunch of stuff into it. Does it work or not work to be 100% legit, depending on what that says?
Yeah. It should be simpler. It should make it simpler for you.
That as long as it's simple.
As a condition of employment.
Yeah, it's simple, straight.
Yeah, and then it also protects the town because they know nobody's going to be there unless they're working for you and tied in with your thing, so.
Yeah.
That's just what the last deed restriction we just did on the highway for you. And I can give you a copy of that if you'd like to see that.
But I, we can add it or change it to meet to say that this is the caretaker that lives here in this house only or something like that, not that, that they got to be W2 employee or what's going on, okay?
Yeah, what you're paying them, the rent on the house is part of their payment. So whatever, that, that's between you and them. We don't need to know.
The deed restriction you're talking about was that basically this will not be a rental property.
Right. And that's what we're saying here. It's not a rental property.
Right, but that was the extent of the deed.
Condition of your employment.
Yeah.
So you can't have the caretaker and half of it and then rent the other half to somebody else. Or the barn or anything else.
With the renewal of the business license annually.
Yeah.
We had the, this previous applicant basically state, here's the set, here's the circumstances. So we just know what, at the renewal of the business license, he declares who's.
Living there. I don't think the money has anything to do with it.
No, it doesn't. It's not.
Because Scott could be, right, because Scott could be paying him because the business isn't making enough money to.
Yeah, there's three.
Afford that, you know, and so that's part of the.
No, it's not about money. It's just that he declares that that's still a condition of.
It's the intent, the declaration.
No longer is he renting that.
Can't have 12 cars and 12 people living there kind of thing that, that lies against it.
They really can rent the house for $500 and trade the rest out if they live there, if they're still working and watching it. It's not about the.
Yeah, that's your deal.
That was the part I was hung up on there.
Yeah, that's your deal.
The other deed restriction said market rental. I mean, it was very specific about that. And we can get you a copy of that to make it.
Okay. Yeah, that's zero problem with that.
So I think the only thing that's left is just your written business plan of what you intend to do. Write that up and I think you guys asked for that last time.
So in my license application, what I put in there and showing us that isn't good enough for really what I'm doing, just for open storage and a little spot, there's really no business model or plan. I just need to get approved and get there and start putting some boats and RVs on and see how it goes. There's really not a, not putting up a building and doing things to kind of create a whole big plan. I just want to start and see how, I might only get 20 in there. Everybody nowadays might only want covered storage and I might not get a bunch. So I don't know what kind of a plan I'm setting my business license.
It doesn't matter for this.
But going down this path, there is no path of return.
Right.
Decide not to go into business anymore and you've still got a home there. That old is not no longer.
It's all industrial.
It's now an industrial areas.
Right.
So you've really got to weigh that out and make sure that that's, that you understand that correctly. Given, you forfeited your right to have a residential unit there.
Yeah, I understand. It's my only option.
So Blake, your business plan will be real simple. All you're going to do is just write, you're intending to turn the house into the office and you're going to do your storage. Just write that down and that's, you guys want to see anything else in the business plan?
No, the other thing that would speed it up is if you have some verbiage already written up for the deed restriction that we can just okay, so that that doesn't take another month to get the verbiage right. And if it's, you know, close and we just need to change a few words, we could do that.
We can piggyback on what we just did. You can tweak it if you want to.
You can take what we have, you can customize it to you, you can have your lawyer look at it if you want to. And that'll speed things up.
Okay. All right.
Just so I'm clear and he's clear, this is not his only option, correct? We could change the zoning, he could keep everything the same.
but then he'd only have 2 acres industrial and 5 acres with the house residential.
Unless we allow for a conditional use under the existing setup or propose back to the council.
And that'll take a lot longer and it may or may not work.
Just so you understand, this is your only option, but it's the quickest option for sure, but there's a permanent aspect to it.
It doesn't really matter because winter's here, the storage is kind of come and gone. If we can ask for a conditional use to leave it exactly as it is and call it all industrial and house residential, then I would rather do that than start making lines in the sand that cause problems.
It becomes an adjustment to the code that the council can make.
Yeah, I don't want to go to one extreme, but I've been to all of them back here and I don't know if I'm open for whatever guidance gets me.
The quickest path, most straightforward path is going to be a deed restriction, right? But that's permanent. There's no going back from that. You got to weigh what that means to you or if that holds value or not.
So what does that change outside of if this is called parking and not storage? And this house, we've got a conditional use to allow the house to...
You don't have a conditional use.
Not conditional.
No, I asked for a conditional use to allow the house to stay where it's existing and already here in the industrial zone. What am I missing there that I couldn't just ask for just that one thing and still be in the same spot?
I think you're back to the use problem. Back to, if you have a use, you can continue that use. Nobody here to tell you you can't continue to live in that house and do what's been going on there. What you're asking for is a change, to change the use to industrial and store vehicles or camp trailers on that property. That's initiated by you. You're the one making that change.
Can I ask for a conditional use to change the use of this from residential to industrial and leave the house as residential use?
You got to have 5 acres, please. Mm-hmm.
But
for residential.
So not splitting the lot, just the use, where it was a conditional use. We're not talking lot size and septic and things. We're just talking use. Nothing would change.
You can
just be a conditional use for the use of the home.
If I'm following, you can request it, but I think per the code, I don't know that we can approve it without a change to the code. I think we're back to that circular reference.
Full circle.
So was my storage height problem is because it was storage area, not parking? Was that what I'd heard?
Yeah.
The use that you're asking for.
So if we allow that, if I come and request the use to change from residential to industrial, then that solved the 6-foot problem?
It does.
Okay.
I don't know. But no, I'm not there yet. I want to understand more, but I'm not there yet.
Okay, I'm just trying to just look at my two options. That's the way I see it, is I have two. So if I ask for this to change use, not zone, because it's already zone industrial, to change use from residential to industrial of, let's call it 7 acres, but to still leave the house, not split the lot or change the lot size, but leave the half acre of the house as a residential use. Could I get a conditional use permit for that? Why would that be?
I think as long as you're picking a residential, well, you've got to have your 5 acres.
Well, you don't over here. This house right here, it's zone and stuff, so I guess use. This is use zone and the double zones again, what's lot size, we're talking whole different things when we're conditional use for uses, not grandfathered in lots or legal lot size.
What
or septic.
About, like?
Any of these other ones around here that's got different zones through them too, is what I'm saying there. On
well,
size
that's one of the differences. Yours doesn't have 2 different zones in it. It doesn't have a residential 1 acre or something and 6 of the other.
But it's the use, so not the zone. So does that have to have 5 acres for a use?
It's a non-conforming use. Your residential lot is already non-conforming.
Yep.
And it has to have 5 acres to continue to exist in that capacity. If you reduce that to anything less than that, it's you're in violation of your own ordinance. I mean, of your own zone.
So we wouldn't approve the lot split in that case.
Can't split the lot anyway.
So it wouldn't be a lot split, it's just the use. We're only talking use, not lot anymore.
Yeah, but you can't...
No.
I mean, the county
you
has
can't
done
have
that
a residential
to us,
thing.
But yeah, you can't really split uses on one lot. You either got to split the lot, or you've got to, before they develop it, they're going to have to change, you know, to
to do any changes, they're going to have to change the zone to one single zone. It's just the county came through and drew a line at some point, and...
So then, my only option is to do what we talked originally. I don't have any options.
I think it's the best option for them.
Well, I think your other option was the zone dividing.
And then have 5 acres with the homeowner too, in the industrial, when it's already all zoned.
Yeah.
Well, it still wouldn't change the zone.
Yeah, still wouldn't change the zoning.
But if you change the use again, you'd have the same issue, either the home has to go or become a caretaker residence. But I don't see a huge downside to doing that, other than it's probably costs some money to do the lot split and maybe some other requirements.
Well, I don't want to split the lot, only have 2 acres of storage and 5 of non.
True, but you could, at a future date, if it all works out, decide to turn that home into a caretaker residence, and you've got the other 5 acres.
Not if you split the lot.
Yeah.
No, it's still back to the same game plan.
It's still industrial, so...
Deed restriction on it's a caretaker residence, and now it's on this 5 acres and not the full 7, whatever.
Yeah, it's just doubled in your trip, you're just doing an extra step in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the conditional use won't work for just a use, not a lot size or a zoning or a split, then I don't see any other way other than the original.
So yeah, your choice, I think, is to either split that 2 acres off, and then in the future, if you want to do more, then the house, you know, becomes the caretaker residence, or you make the house caretaker residence now, and go from there.
Does anyone else have any other ideas up there?
If he split off the 2 acres, it would be a separate lot that's industrial. Could he sell the 2 acres separately?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is fully 2 separate parcels at that point. Okay, I wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah, we just can't create an illegal lot, so that meets all the criteria for both of those.
Because industrial is a half acre.
Right.
So it doesn't make it illegal in the industrial zone, because it's over half.
You still have your 5 on the use, where
5 and 2.
Yeah.
And it's, and the 5 still stays industrial with the grandfather use in until...
Well, not grandfathered.
Well...
Yeah.
Do you want to, until you change the use, and then once that use is changed, there's room. Okay, I just want to make sure I understand.
So really, I mean, there's your 2 options.
I don't know that.
Well, so that, what was the other option? Oh, the split.
Yeah.
5 and 2.
It's only 2 usable acres.
Or you can go, and I think it's down, we can go through the zoning.
That's option number 3.
The code change wouldn't solve it.
Yeah.
Because the code change is just getting them 6 foot up. That'll happen, no problem, but then I thought the problem was the house.
Yeah, it is your use.
So that wouldn't work. Okay, so there's only...
It would work, but you'd still have to make the house a caretaker dwelling. So it's not helping you really.
Yeah, it wouldn't change. So there's 2 options, is split off and only do 2 acres, or, well, deed restrict the house.
5 and whatever's left.
Yeah.
Is that how you want to do it?
Yeah. Okay.
I think a business plan like you've asked for, I think if you draw that up simple, just what you want to do, and that will give us the map for your change of use in that business plan.
Okay, so does that entail anything crazy I don't know about that would stop me from doing that anybody knows of? Is that anything outside of what we've talked about?
What's our parking standard if you're, and I'm just trying to follow all this. So, does it have to be a paved parking for industrial use?
I'm not sure about that. We have a parking matrix in the back.
Yeah, I looked through it quickly. I didn't get that.
It's big. Yeah.
It showed me all the different diagrams, but it didn't tell me this has to be
paved
or if it can be a gravel lot, just because I know you mentioned that.
And yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to get there if you're saying it's not a storage lot anymore, it's a parking lot. If that changes our standards on what that requires it to be, I don't know.
I do not want to asphalt it.
I'm sure you don't.
And so if that is the requirement, then I need to step back and make sure then I don't want to do it. I'm saying if there's certain things that's going to be major hangups.
That's why I'm bringing up the question now. I don't know the answer either. I flipped through and I couldn't find it, so.
It's, yeah.
I'm not sure the whole parking matrix is big.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So I don't know the answer to that right now, but I think that's one that.
It is online if you want to look through it. We can look through it too, but.
What's the lock in here?
Yeah, I don't know. So there's guidance on the right small back check or see if there's major issues like that or something would be a major changes then.
Yeah, parking standards in 820. And so I would look into 820. That's I've gone through it as we were talking. I didn't find it yet, but that's where I'm trying to find something that talks about if it has to be paved, because I don't want you to go down this path and then it has to be a paved lot.
Then I'd go back to asking for a conditional use to the storage, and I can store 14 foot tall. The storage doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't seen anything in there that would require that, so.
So if I write out my plan and submit it in with what I'm wanting, if there's any issues or problems anybody has, then you'd address those things for me to fix or solve, right? Is that what you're...
It's generally what we try to come to this meeting with.
His plan. When would he need to have that into you, Eric?
Well, they would want to view that and hear in the meeting, so.
I know, but for the next meeting, does
it would have to be in before the first. All items cut off on the first. So these guys have a chance to review and so the staff can make a recommendation.
Okay.
So the first is always a cutoff for this meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem. What we're talking about is pretty easy, I guess, in the end. I'll just have it all subject be to final approval through everything we're talking about, that the deed restriction wouldn't go into play until someone looked through and seen if what I was proposing needed to conditional use or to call it storage instead of parking. I just want to make sure everyone just understands that you get what I'm trying to do. Now if we go down some other path and it triggers asphalt instead of conditional use, and it just starts to open up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things. It does say surface with concrete, asphalted concrete, asphalt brick or stone. It does not say what size those stones have to be.
Yeah, and that's,
well, they can make them any size.
Yeah, I can crush them any size.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't say.
Where's that at?
Another unclear thing.
Which one's that?
That is in. It's not working. I can't pull it. Now it's 820.12.5. So page 185.
Yep.
But then it gets into headlights shining through and some of those things which really don't apply in this case. And so we end up in other issues, so.
Well, and I guess the other thing with parking lots, I mean, then it's, if we're calling a parking lot, you got your buffers that you got to do around it, right? So 10 feet of landscaping around the perimeter is what I'm reading right now. So
is that a requirement, or is that a by council to decide if it's needed to do 10 foot landscape between me and the airport?
The way I'm reading it, it's a parking lot improvement requirement, and parking lots shall be buffered from the street with a minimum of 10 feet of landscaping.
Oh, just from the street?
From the street.
Okay. There's probably one on the other sides. I don't know. I haven't read through it all.
So if I can write a lot and do that up, should I just do that and ask for a code change to drop the 6 foot to 14 or a conditional use to 14, and I don't even have to step into the parking lot? Then we'll just call it storage like it is. Feels like I'm making more problems on site by calling it parking.
I think if you can fit it in there, it's your faster answer potentially, but be honest, I'm not sure you can get there yet without running into too many hurdles, but maybe you can. I don't know.
Okay. I guess if nobody sees a problem with that, then that's what I'll do, is I'll give my business plan in, say this house will be run by the people there as a caretaker slash security or whatever you want to call it there, and I guess request that you guys initiate for the council to change the code so that storage areas for storage, not for like business use, can store vehicles and things up to 20 foot tall or 18 foot tall or whatever it is. And if anyone's, if that sounds right, and I don't throw the parking lot and all the other things that could be in there that could come back and cause problems. So if so, who recommends that to the council? That's not me, right? Is that
a code change?
Yeah.
It so. Can be you. You can write the code and submit it to these guys. We've had, we had that's how the driveways to three residential lots. Derek and them wrote the code, submitted it, went through the process of the public hearing.
Okay.
And then it was recommended to the council and they adopted that. For non, it was a non-asphalt driveway, because that wasn't a standard we had until they did that over on the Sweet Road.
Okay.
So it certainly can be done by a person. You can submit that.
Okay. Where this is kind of a code change, it's for everybody, not just for my subject one, to eliminate that. Is that just something we can just make happen and do that says that and take it out?
No, it won't. It will do everybody. Then that will be the change. Now, when you go in just for looking at you, they won't make a code change just for you. That will fit the entire zoning, or they won't put it in.
Okay.
They're obligated to make that fit the entire zoning.
Okay. So you want me to write up code
you,
change?
You can do that, or this group can do that too.
Okay.
Whatever, if you're...
I don't want to write the code for the whole town. I would rather somebody else, but if I need to, I will. I guess I just need to know. So when I leave here tonight, I do everything I need to do and come back and from there.
Yeah, I think if it becomes a proposed code change, you educate us to the extent of what that change needs to look like. You don't need to draft it. We could draft it from there.
Okay. So who do I go over that with? Because it's from 6 foot to 20 foot. I mean, it's pretty...
I think maybe include that in the business plan as the follow-up.
Okay. So what's in my business plan that someone used to draft that? Who writes that, I guess?
There's several people that write that, but the problem is if you don't portray what you want, it's not going to say what you want it to do. Because what our vision of and your vision is two different things, clearly. So if you think the criteria is this, this, and this, you should write those things down so they're able to include that as that's written.
Okay. Who writes that? That's what I was wondering, if I can email, call, talk, and look at the thing and fix it with me. Right.
Usually town staff does that with our attorney, so that's usually goes, and it's not a quick process, you understand that. The last code change we did went 8.5 months, I think.
It depends on what the change is.
Yeah.
And who feels strongly either way.
Yeah, I think Derek's took, he was in here for 6 months on the driveway thing.
Yeah.
Before it was finally adopted. Might have been a little longer. And then they didn't even build. They went up to Timberlake and bought a house.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you trying to do stuff for 8 months, like sitting on things and doing there. So, yeah, I'm not going that route. I guess I thought it would be easy on that if you take it from 6 foot to 20 foot or something. So, I guess I'm just looking for whatever recommendation you guys say. Give me whatever you guys would take us, then if not, I have to see with what's already there and things, I guess. But yeah, if you're writing the code 6 or 8 months to change it from 6 foot to 14 or 20, that's got to be doable on my end.
Yeah, that's not a good process.
Yeah, I've done it in the Heber City before.
Oh, then you know.
Yeah. How interested are you guys in keeping me and Daniels here instead of me just going to Heber City?
got the disconnect, and so that's probably not, I mean, you can ask this board, but it's really up to the.
I just kind of wonder there, it's kind of a, you know, it's over here, it's got multiple zones and things that borders the airport, I'm sure they're going to condemn some of me, one day, I'm just wondering if that's all this brain damage to do here and get up to in 8 months to do it, if it's something you guys really want there to keep or wouldn't really care one way or the other.
That's probably not a quick process either to detach it and annex to Heber. I would bet that'd take a year or two.
But what do you got, how do you guys feel? You want this in your thing or don't really, you're impartial where it borders Heber City here? Do you think they're going to end up taking me one day anyways soon if they expand and not being there and all this would be?
It would still be in Daniel even if they condemn you.
Oh.
That's that line
that's
there.
So is that something you guys would care one way or the other or not?
I think so.
Yeah, there you go. I think so.
Okay.
I don't think that's a fast process.
Yeah, annex, and I've done that before too. It only takes about 6 months. But
you have to de-annex before you can annex.
So it has to go back to the county and then be annexed in by Heber.
It's fine. I just making sure this seems like, you know, such a problem child that maybe nobody wants to deal with it and kind of figure it out there. And there's so many moving parts with it when it seems so simple. But
it's a problem child. And one thing, you know, the question at first was, does the town get any revenue? And I don't have the answer, but, you know, whether you have to turn sales tax on the rentals or not, if you do, then the town will get some revenue from that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question at all. I don't know if you're a tax rental.
Yeah. No.
All right.
No.
No.
No. The answer's no.
The answer's no. The town doesn't make money off of that.
You don't get tax off the
sales tax.
Rent fees? I didn't know that. I've never had any yet, so but I thought you'd charge it.
There's not a sales tax.
Not a sales tax. So the town doesn't gain a lot from rentals of lots or spaces.
Okay.
Hence the storage, definition of storage is
pretty tight.
Tight. We can give up all of our commercial for storage and then be broke.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll take a look and see what and where and figure something out and go from there. Sounds like there's no easy way to get there because if I call a parking lot, then it sounds like I'd bring up all sorts of other things. And if I leave it storage, it takes 6 or 8 months to get a coat change in.
Can I make a comment? We have got Eric, I guess this is mostly directed toward you. The code changes do not have to take 6 to 8 months. We hire a planner, that's your title. Basically, in most cases, the planner basically authors the draft for the code change and then submits it to the planning commission. Then basically submits to the council for approval. 6 to 8 months is ridiculous. And if that's the case, government is way bogged down.
Right.
We've got to speed that process up. I mean, seriously, because what we're really trying to do is round off the square peg to fit into the round hole all the time. Because we continue to run into these interesting conflicts, and none of us know why they're even there. It's so discouraging that what we've got and what we're going by is a set of rules that none of us really, really like. And in fairness to people who are coming here to try to do business in our town, and then we tell them it's 6 to 8 months to come to a resolution to a simple issue, that's unacceptable. And so I guess what I'm saying, Eric, is we need to speed that process up. And when you ask who should be authoring the language to make these code changes, that's defined as the planner. He's the person who has received training, received guidance and direction, can go and find other documents that where he can pull up like information, like language, and basically submit that to us, and this process should be streamlined much more quickly. Now, that's my comment as a member of the town council. I don't want to see anybody taking 6 to 8 months, that if we're literally working off of a code that none of us like, or we don't understand why it's even there, then we should act quickly to make those amendments and changes. And Eric, you're the...
Say, to Eric's credit, that 8 months was not in Eric's office.
Okay.
Most of it was with the town council.
Okay, then
so, you know...
I guess those comments are going right back to me, but if it comes to the town council, then I'm going to try to do everything in my power to say, let's move quickly. And it doesn't need legal approval. It doesn't need legal jargonese.
Somebody will, yeah.
It needs to be simple language that anybody can understand, and we should not bog it down in the attorney's office.
Well, the problem is if you don't at least pass it by the attorney, it's going to be attorneys that take it to court and interpret it, so you do need some advice.
So you're saying what we've got is attorney-driven and attorney-approved? If that's the case...
Probably at some point.
I'm really at a loss. I mean, because the common man doesn't understand it. And we're all common people.
So Eric, what would it take to cut the process in half?
Possible? You have legal requirements for public hearings.
Yeah. Right.
You have to advertise. I mean, it is not a fast process.
Right.
You just don't change code.
I mean,
and it's built for that reason.
Yeah.
If you look at the town of Daniel, the code we have is the reason we have what we have. And so if you need to change the code, you need to look at why do you need to change it? Is there something you don't like in the town? It's not just that you don't like the code. It's providing a service to you. Your general plan ties into that. You just don't change code on something based on something else. It has to be a benefit for the town. That's your job. That's your responsibility. And I think
that process begins with you, Eric.
That process begins with the Planning Commission.
What I'm saying is, if we need to get that on the Planning Commission agenda, to recommend a code change.
That doesn't start with me. That starts with the chair of the Planning Commission.
It starts right here.
But we don't write it.
No, I agree. That's why we have staff.
But we've got to get direction.
That's right.
And so that typically, at least from what I found, that's going to take us a month or two's worth of discussion, which we've gone through on things.
It'll take a...
It's going to take at least a meeting or two. So there's 2 months. Then Eric's going to take our direction, draft it. We'll get something back. We'll review it. Maybe it works. If it does, then we send it on to you guys for review. So now we're at 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, you got to have a public hearing
before it goes to...
Okay. So let's have one more month in there. So now we're at 4 or 5 months. Like, this is, it's frustrating that it takes this long, and I understand it. I agree with Eric. There's a reason why it's difficult to change, because you don't want to change it on a whim. Not to say that we shouldn't change things. There's a lot, as I've read through it and gotten familiar, that I do think should be changed, but it should not be a fast process, because then things will just start swinging around in ways that they shouldn't. You want this to be a really burdensome process, and we put a lot of thought into it before you change it. So I'm not necessarily opposed to the fact that it takes 6 months or so to make a code change, and it might take longer because you guys get it, and the council might have it back and forth for a few months and change it or kick it back to us for some additional thought, right?
That's what happened in the last one. It got changed, kicked back to you.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes sense to me that it takes a long time, because just what we described, this doesn't just impact your parcel. This is every industrial zoned piece of ground in the town. And so the thought isn't just, what does this mean for you in this situation? It's, what does it mean for every industrial piece and what might come to it? So
I just feel it doesn't make sense for everybody. So what if I go and start storing stuff on there like everybody else has, and you guys work through this for 8 months, and then I don't care if it takes that long?
That's
the
question you just posed. You know, here we got Blake that doesn't live in our town, but he owns property in the town, and property rights are pretty sacred to me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we've got to do something to help him. I'm not going to be the guy that tells you to start parking stuff there, Blake.
No, I know.
But there's precedents all throughout the town that they're already doing that. Anywhere you look.
There is.
But that's not saying the council's not coming back.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying.
And you also can't get a business license and have legal protection until it goes through some kind of a process here. I think we gave you an idea of the fastest way to do it, which is faster than changing the code.
Unless the parking lot won't work and I have to deal with landscaping.
We all need to do more research on that, and hopefully it will.
I suggest sitting down with Eric and
Look closely. Well, we can't memorize every page of the code. It's hundreds of pages long, so.
You want to make an appointment, we can meet in the town office and I can give you the deed restriction information. We can sit down and go over the code, and then you can make a better informed decision if that helps. And we can do that before the end of the year.
It's coming fast. The end of the year.
We'll go drag Eric out of his house, because I always work.
He's probably not working on Christmas, so you should.
It's unsafe.
You have the deer water tank.
Because if that happens, we could have to make a decision here next month, couldn't we? If all that stuff happens and it's back on the agenda, it works.
Yeah, I mean, if he does what you suggested and he just changes that, I mean, all you're doing is making recommendation to the council for the business license. That's all we're doing here.
I would just need to talk with whoever triggers all this stuff, is now your asphalt, now your landscape, now your street lights, all that just gets crazy.
That's what Kim's saying.
Yeah, and there would be a recommendation from staff about whether or not that's going to follow the code would come to them. That's why I'm saying we could sit down.
Okay.
Not in this meeting, but in the office.
And look through all that.
Exactly.
And make those decisions.
Okay.
Because now you're outside of the, now you're in parking standards, you're outside the industrial zone. It just referred you to another code, so you have to go look at that one. Another one that may come into play here is, if you're up against residential, is 821. Yeah. That's a transition zone between zones and residential. That's another one you want to look at.
Well, this one's residential.
Yeah, okay. It's what it does.
But you can help me through that when it comes and sits with you.
Well, yeah. We need to get an accurate zone map on that one, because if part of the neighboring property is industrial, then he's not.
Well, it won't matter, because the neighboring property
is residential.
Not use the zone, it's the use.
So usually, like in Heber, I deal with them a lot. You have the right and/or, so they can make them put a fence, they can make them put landscape. If you're making noises and smells and things, are you saying that no matter what, anywhere I butt a residential use, even though it's zoned industrial, I have to do all that landscaping and berming and fencing? Or is that an option that the board gets to decide where it makes sense, where it goes?
The answer is that it's required.
If it's in the code.
It is in the code.
Okay.
Which is exactly what it's for. It's built to isolate industrial uses.
Yeah, we just went through this last meeting.
Yeah. So take a look at that and sit down with Eric.
Yes.
Okay. See if you can work it out.
Okay.
I think the first thing you want to do is do your business plan, say what you want to do, so we know what we're looking at.
All right, thank you guys for your time.
Thanks for it.
Thanks, Clay.
Okay. Let's move to item five. So each year we elect a commission chair and co-chair for 1 year. We need to do that for next year, so they're in charge of conducting meetings. Meeting the week before planning to use the agenda for the mayor and making sure that everything happens, although it's actually Kim that makes everything happen. But anyway, so take nominations for commission chair. Co-chair.
Do we need a vote on the last application?
Well, I think we need to vote to continue it, don't we, Eric?
If you don't vote, it will discontinue.
Oh, does it?
didn't take any action on it. You're still asking for the next step you did from the start.
Just kicks.
Automatically continues then.
It's all right.
No. Bet you'd have to work for free.
No.
Jay, looking for nominations.
Looking for nominations.
I would nominate Gary Wade.
See that smile on his face?
I can do it again.
You're retired, you got time, Gary.
This is my West Miles work.
Okay, you seconded?
Kip.
I did, yes.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Bender, yes.
Bennett, yes.
And Wade doesn't get a vote.
Chairman doesn't vote unless it's tied.
On voting, yeah.
We learned that last time.
Yeah, we did, I did. I was at least reminded, put it that way.
Vice chair.
Okay, now we need a vice chair or a co-chair. Well, I don't, we've got co-chair here, it's.
It's vice on.
I think it's vice chair.
I had vice. Eric said co.
Eric says co.
Okay.
Call it whatever you want.
Whatever it is.
I nominate Richard.
Richard.
Richard?
Who's Richard?
I don't know.
Me either. Bridger.
Oh, Bridger.
I'd second that.
I was going to nominate Eric. There's a second.
Well, we have a nomination and a second.
So we have to.
So we have to vote on that before we can accept another nomination.
Okay, so.
If the vote fails.
Okay, so Kip nominated and who seconded? Eric quickly or was it?
I did.
Thanks.
Both of them.
Richard.
I didn't start this past this.
I like it.
Yeah.
Got to change your chair.
So.
Bridge.
Yeah.
Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes. Sorry.
Wild abstain.
You can't.
I just did.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Bender, yes. Bennett, yes.
Gosh, there's like these.
Okay.
Tires.
Carries, right, yeah, here. Right there.
Look what happens when you.
Who invited you here? You know, they.
Okay.
Everything was fine.
Let's move. Application driven, just like everything.
Yeah. Item six, planner report.
Okay, so you have it on your packet. Is there any questions from the planner report? You may have seen that a couple of roads are being cut. We gave a variance to cut the road for the gas in Storm Haven and also on Mill Road. Mill Road hasn't happened yet, so I don't think Storm Haven has happened. They'll be coming back in the spring to make the appropriate repairs, cutting that back out, taking out the gold patch and replacing it with asphalt. They used to just build in the summer. That's not the case anymore. Year round.
That's because they have bigger equipment. They can get through the frost.
That's true.
True. Okay.
No questions? Okay.
Okay. Engineer report.
I don't think I had much beyond the permits that he already covered.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes?
Yeah.
Are there any changes?
Okay. You just said you can't. I can't because it wasn't here. We talked about this before too.
Yeah. You don't have to, but you can.
I said one, but it's minor. It was a name.
Okay.
The reference in the last piece of item two. Very last one before we get to three. You referenced a new Summit Mine building. It's Summit Line.
Summit Line?
Mine.
L-I-N-E. Okay. Thanks.
Right above the.
I listened to that actually like three. I'm like, Summit Mine? Okay.
All good.
Jay, entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So a motion to approve the minutes from the previous.
Second that. Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Can I or can I not abstain?
You can abstain. Just say you abstain.
Abstain, Banger. Banger, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Now we have general plan and zoning discussion. And I know that Richard's assignment, some of you haven't seen the map yet. I'm curious to find out what number you came up with, Richard.
Yeah, let's compare notes.
Compare mine and then get a few others and find out who's way out of bounds.
I am not going to say that mine's anywhere near 100% accurate.
But close.
Dude, you deal in numbers.
And I deal in materiality all the time.
Oh, okay.
That's TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're close enough.
This concept called de minimis is frequently in Bridger's.
What's the number?
Well, I'm trying to get to it now. I can't get my stuff to pull up.
So whoever did not get a map, I have some more.
I would take one.
Okay, I didn't get one either.
When were these maps?
You can have
one. I can share it with my neighbor if I need to.
That way you can put them on your dinner table as a placemat and study it while you eat.
Varnish over it.
Got a couple maps. You can eat the difference though.
Okay.
If anybody wants me to take that and get it laminated, or if you'd like to laminate it, the UPS store will do those.
I just kind of thought of it as disposable. I just started writing online. Here are two more.
You want my number now? I'm ready.
Yeah.
Finally got it. I got 549 total possible parcels, and I got 49 of those that I viewed as not likely to be a residential parcel, but would be some version of commercial, industrial, something. So right at 500 even is what my analysis came back with of residential lots.
Filled out,
based on
current zoning.
Right.
Yes, that was my number we got to.
Okay.
Does anybody know what we're at right now?
No, I was going to look at that, but I'm going to have to get on Google Earth because this map shaded enough you can't tell for sure whether there's a building there or not. I came up with 506.
That's pretty dang close.
So,
I was looking. You put your maps away.
I was looking. No, I like it because that's we'll see.
Chairperson, co-chairperson.
I'm thinking average three people per household. I didn't look that up, but I remember that statistic from somewhere.
3.2, I think, is what they have at that for Mag.
Okay, so you would take. We have 1,000 right now. Divided by 3.2 is what? About 330.
You're assuming 1,000 is accurate.
Yeah. We'll see what. We're saying 999, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, we are saying 999. Yes, we are.
Let's be very clear.
Yes.
So that would be 312 homes, so that would be another 200 that I'd build out. So then I think that's really where we're at until. You know, based on what the county's doing right now until the town chose to put a sewer system in, which I'm not suggesting at all, but I'm
Gary
just saying.
Will never suggest.
Noted.
No, I won't.
Put that in the record.
But I'm just saying we are stuck at that until a sewer system goes in because of groundwater.
Health,
yeah. So.
Good thing to be stuck in.
I think so, but.
Eric, does the town allow smaller density if they have an alternative septic system?
No, our zoning stands separate from its from the septic problem issue. We have separate zoning. And the health department's always said that. Don't hide behind the health department. Keep your zoning what you want your zoning to be. So.
But the next thing I want to do is find out how many are built, and I'm also curious how many wells exist in the town. Because really, the reason for this was to kind of get an idea of where we're at on the water system. So I took some other averages that I got on the web, which may or may not be accurate, as far as the amount of water needed per home, and came up with somewhere around we'd need 460 acre feet. But that's a wild guesstimate at this point.
Do we have that much water?
We don't know. For what we have enough. We don't know. I mean, we have a well, but we don't even operate.
Do we know how many water customers we have?
We do know that.
Yeah.
Can't we take that 300 and whatever and subtract that number and find out how many people are on wells, or some on both?
I think some are on both. They just went through the adjudication and proving the wells.
Yeah.
So some had both.
Yeah, there are some I know of that do.
Yeah, as long as they're doing beneficial use, they kept their wells.
How many customers total do we have in the culinary system?
I want to say 254 between Stormhaven and the Daniel system.
But any new ones doesn't mean we have water in the wet water, but any new connections do have to trade water ships.
Yeah, so capacity-wise, that's, if you're asking about capacity, we have a well that sits there that doesn't even operate. We fire it up to take samples out of it every month, but we just run on spring right now.
We're just trying to be electric.
But the system has its limitations as well in the size of the pipe that delivers the water, so that may not be the sole limiting factor.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like Ryan gave us those numbers at one point sometime this summer. I don't remember what they are now.
And we had had them, but yeah. I don't have to memorize.
Yeah, he did that whole analysis on
it. Yeah. That's
what it was.
I think that's when we started down this path of saying, all right, let's figure this out to then put those two together. So I think maybe, at least for me, it would be helpful to get that kind of refreshed data back from what Ryan gave as a good way to then understand what the system can do in volume-wise of just the pipes itself, and then, I mean, understanding just the flow of water, too. And then marry that up with some of this data that we just got on what density might look like.
He did that in a PowerPoint. I don't know if he still has the PowerPoint,
I'm
just
sure
so you know.
Okay, I'll get it back to you.
If you email me the PowerPoint, I'll email it back to the commission.
The State Division of Water Rights will have a record of all the wells that have been drilled in the town boundaries.
And it's actually mapped, but it still takes a little bit of time to go through and count, and then if you want to be sure that they're actually being used, you have to, you know, zoom into the documents on each one. Some may have never been used.
In most cases, if somebody's connected up to a municipal system, the state will condemn that well, unless it's being used for some
other purpose.
Some other purpose. They have to prove up on its use. And it can't be just there as a fallback. It needs to be viable.
You can't cross-connect them.
No.
But I do know of a case where they continued using the well for livestock because they didn't want to run another pipe out, and you know, they're connected to water. And I'm sure there are probably more cases. I just know that because they're a neighbor. It's not me.
He does use the well for livestock.
Yeah. And you can check my water right, I'm legal.
I think the state just did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think I'll check mine too. So.
But all that information's online, so.
Yeah.
If you want to spy on your neighbor's water right, you can do that.
Everything's online.
Yeah, so that's interesting that. And this is also, I mean, we do have the other sources of storm payments.
Yes.
We have another source.
It's true.
But I think if you look at, you know, the amount of irrigation water for the town, we're probably covered, even if zoning changed.
Yeah.
So paper water exists, but infrastructure and everything else may not.
Always behind, always work in progress.
Well, Well, and they can change too, the actual water, the well, the spring.
Does our spring interact a lot with the irrigation company's water?
You know, we just don't, we've been as low as 97 and 106. I mean, we've never
just
been out of that range.
Don't move, huh?
Yeah, just, it's just so, and it's weird. I mean, it just hangs there. It doesn't seem to matter what's going on anywhere.
Isn't the spring coming out of the mountain though, above? It's coming out above Daniels Creek, right?
Yes.
The well could possibly interact with the irrigation water, but who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty steady. It's amazing.
It's just the water hits that creek and just disappears.
Yeah. Shows up back down your creek.
That was interesting to see how fast the pond at the county gravel pit filled up as soon as water hit Daniels Creek.
Did it?
Yeah, it was within a day or two, it would be full up to creek level.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The gravel pit.
I think is one of the reasons the state made them fill it back in.
Yeah.
The county's bad.
Anyway.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, we did not get a lot of general plan done this year. So I'm assuming that next month we will reapprove the existing plan. But we ought to continue working on it because it does need some changes. We also should probably next year work on some code changes. You know, as you're reading through, flag things that you know you think ought to be changed, and you know, we can discuss them. Because there are some crazy things in there. There's a lot of good things. But crazy things definitely make our job harder.
We just don't notice them until they come up, until they reply.
Right. And you can read through it 10 times and not even think about it until it comes up. So.
Yeah.
But there are some things that you can read once and just kind of go, what? And we ought to at least catch those. Now, does anyone have anything else, or do we want to be done 2 hours earlier than we were last month?
Definitely okay with that.
Kim's going to make a motion.
I think, just my own opinion, if we don't start calendaring some actual planning meeting, closed session kind of meetings where we can get together and discuss and go over things, by December of 2023, we're going to be in the same boat. Because by the time we get done dealing with the public issues that we have to deal with, we're out of time to deal with the actual planning part of our job. So I don't know how we do that necessarily, but I think there needs to be some scheduled hearings and probably front-loaded in the year as opposed to hurrying at the end of the year. And it is not going to happen in the General Planning Commission meeting.
Right.
I requested this room from 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock for both council and commission, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So if that,
every month?
Yeah,
so
every
that's
month.
A possibility.
Yeah, so there's time before if you wanted to come at 6.
Well, we got the office down there. We can meet in any time. Make it a, yeah.
So no, we have to have room for the public to come.
Yeah, you have to notice. You guys are welcome to come 2 at a time, maybe 3, but after that, no more.
Right.
You have to notice. But no, just so you know. So 5 o'clock, I just did 5 o'clock for both commission and for council for 2023.
Okay. Okay. Let's put something on the agenda for next meeting to discuss that.
Okay.
So real quick, just from my own understanding, this guy's running through the ringer trying to figure out how to get storage on his property. You got other people that are doing it that are clearly non-compliance with the zoning. What's the process?
For the non-compliance?
For the non-compliance.
We don't have an enforcement officer.
Town council?
Yep. Town council, they make the decision on what is looked at.
We isn't it typically complaint-driven?
It is. It's complaint-driven. Usually if I get something in writing, I'll present that to the council, and then they give me direction on what to do.
So we just don't care whether somebody's not following the code and tell somebody complains, even though it's sitting right there in black and white in front of my eyes?
That's a correct statement. We don't go out looking for people to break the code. If I do that, it'll be a month before I get to your house.
Yeah.
Just darn it, mine coming up the road.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something now. So it's complaint-driven, and we have to have a signed complaint, because if it goes to court, you're the witness. So that's what the town has drawn. We have a new council. I don't know if that's still the same direction, but we have. But that's the process.
And then it's you that goes out and issues the red notices and...
Yeah, so I'll go out and investigate the complaint. And then if there's a complaint, that's when I report back to the council. So I take all the complaints and I investigate those. If there's a violation, then I report back to the council. They give me direction.
Of what to do, what to do, how far to pursue,
right,
that.
And bring in the attorneys and write the letters and do enforcement action.
And that includes business license also, so these people that are operating
without,
they don't have a business license either, so there's actually two complaints. They're not following the code, and they don't have a business license.
Yeah.
So are they clumped together in your mind or in the council's mind, or is it two separate
issues? I can't speak for the council. In my mind, yes, it's clumped together, because if they don't have a business license, they're operating illegally.
Right.
So that's pretty easy to tell.
And what is the definition of grant? My neighbor, he stores stuff on his property and has since the gentleman died, and now the daughter lives there, and they're still continuing to store on their property. So is that a grandfathered in thing because grandpa did it?
It could be. It depends on...
And what's the definition of grandpa?
A lot of that predates the town. So if it's before 2006...
You're talking Darwin McGuire's
stuff. Yeah. And I'm nothing against Darwin. He was a lovely man. But it's continuing, and they're both passed on now.
Yeah.
And it just seems like somewhere... And I'm not a line drawer by any means, but somewhere we kind of got to put some lines in here.
Okay. And... I remember when the request was made to expand that, and that was for relatives to store their things.
Well, so, I've lived there since 04, and it's been there, so that was prior to the town.
Right.
Money for it.
That's my whole knowledge, other than it keeps growing, it seems.
If my relatives want to go park their horse trailer on my property, they can. I just can't charge them for it.
Correct.
Well, there's other nuisance kind of things that can be...
Well, it doesn't, it just is, it becomes complicated when we have this gentleman coming in here trying to do what the right thing is.
Right.
And then you look around and there's so many that make no effort to do the right thing, whatever we define that as. And I think it's really hard for, I sit here and I'm like, sheesh, I agree with you. I mean, you should just go do your own thing. Nobody's going to give you a hard time out there by the airport.
I don't know about that.
I don't know that, but it looks like that.
It's a roll of the dice, right?
Yeah. It's like that. You can do it in years. Yeah. Nobody cares.
So, anyway, that's...
Some great funds enforcing codes.
No, gosh.
You spend a lot of money enforcing codes.
I
can tell you, you can spend the whole budget enforcing codes.
And I don't want black and white, but I don't know. Somewhere we have to put a little more firmness to where we all live. We all want to do what we want to do on our property, but... After 30 years, maybe?
Well, the balance, that's a balance.
It's a balance, yeah.
That's your job. You balance property rights with other people's rights to enjoy their property. That's a tough job. Your job is not easy. You will not make everybody happy.
Figure that out.
I don't even know what happened.
That's when it became up.
The enforcement officer.
Oh.
All we do is deal with the people that come in. And I agree, it's hard to tell somebody that is trying to do it right, no, when everybody else is just...
I really struggle with that personally. It's like, just go do it. Then that's not the right thing either. But where to find the right thing is very difficult for me in this job.
But then, like Eric says, then I look out my windows and say, you know, we're really following the code exactly. I'm in trouble too.
Everybody is. I mean, like I say, it will be a long time going up the road. Well, it wouldn't be me coming up the road, I can tell you that right now.
We live far enough up the road, you wouldn't be alive still by the time we got there.
Yeah, that's much closer for me to go to the next town.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why they've dumped that on me, the code enforcement, it's really not. But we did decide in the beginning, we had the people that wanted to be that, and we decided that those were not the people that should be the code enforcement people. The person who wants that job, you don't want.
You don't want them, yeah, that's for sure.
Okay, this decision.
Item 10.
I'll make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Second.
I haven't finished.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Yes.
Chair, have to write it down, oh, yes.
Now, what else did you want in your motion?